seek your will for me. Cleanse me, make me holy. Let your Spirit live in me. Let me be raptured into your presence. I'm so desperate.
Take your Bibles out and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, you will find there a message. You can just preach it yourself, or else I can talk to you a little bit. What's your pleasure? Don't say. Hey, I need to do something. You know, once in a while, I say something that I shouldn't. He who's without sin, throw the first stone. Last Sunday morning, trying to communicate, make a point, I referenced Tabernacle of Praise, and I should not have. That was wrong. The point that I was trying to get across, and I know why Tabernacle of Praise came to my mind, because I had been in conversation with some fellas before the service, and they were talking about the construction project the Tabernacle of Praise has going on and that they're building with cash, and I'm impressed. I thought that was really quite neat, because that means they're not purchasing the future. They're not spending the future. So that's the reason why that church came out. The point that I was trying to make was that the commitments that were made by this church family several years ago, a great number of those people are no longer part of this church. Fact is, they're not just at Tabernacle of Praise. After this many years, they are all over the city, and some don't even go to church. The commitments were made nevertheless. And though they have left, we are still honoring those commitments and keeping them. Your faithful giving, my goodness, make the impossible possible. You have to consider that it was almost 2 or 2.5 times the number of people that we have currently that made the decision to build these facilities. And circumstances occurred along the way. Decisions were made, and many of them are no longer a part of the church. But we continue on with the commitment. And I take off my hat to you in your diligence and your willingness to stand by. The reality of this is we need more people. We need more seats filled. I want to see more souls saved. Truth be known, we don't need to empty out other churches in order to fill this one. We need to fill this one with people that don't go anywhere and are hurting and need Jesus. Amen? So, forgive me for mentioning that church, because it really was not directly relevant to what I was saying. But you have to understand, when you're speaking, especially illustrative, to give an illustration of something, sometimes things come out of your mouth that shouldn't. Everybody that's been there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now I'll move on. I've been talking to you about giving. And this is in kind of a series of messages of biblical truths for the church. Giving is so, so incredible. It's important to us. It's important to the kingdom of God. The Lord has very graciously allowed us to be part of what He is doing in this world. Isn't that grand? You do realize that He is God. He could make the clouds open up and rain the dollars that are necessary. Huh? If He wanted to, He could make a money tree. Be cool to have one of those. Just to go out and pick off the leaves, and it was money, whatever you needed. How many would take one of those growing in your backyard? I know. Probably most of our trees would be stripped bare because we'd have picked that thing like crazy. that's another deal, right? But this whole thing of giving is just, it's incredible and it's infectious. The first message that I talked to you about was the nature of giving, the purpose of giving, which has to remain as love. God's plan for giving, first fruits, tithes, offerings. We see this in the Word of God. The second message was the naturalness of giving, the giving nature that came from God, the giving nature that was lost in the fall, the transformed life restores the giving intent. This giving thing is truly a God thing. He said, Pastor, I know people that give that are not believers. Yeah, I know, but they're doing a God thing. Sometimes God even uses the unregenerate to fulfill His causes. I'm so thankful, really, that some of the billionaires have caught on to giving, and they are feeding the world, and they are providing fresh water and education and all of these things. It's fantastic. And it it actually serves up exactly what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. But let me tell you about the third message. The third message, if you weren't here, was the joy of giving. Woo-hoo! There's a whole lot more joy in giving than there is receiving. Nothing brings the kind of joy that giving brings. Amen? You can read it. This morning's message is about the passion of giving. A passion of giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." I'm going to pause there. Father, help us. As we study your words for these few moments, help us. Take us beyond our humanity. Help us to see what you see and to be enriched by your truth. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you. I want to share with you a couple of stories of very, very wealthy people and their understanding of giving. First is Bob and Melinda Harvey, business owners. Quote, "Our life purpose for giving is as follows. Help fulfill the commission by giving 50% of our annual income to Christian causes that have the greatest leverage. To do this, we must maximize our income, consult with people knowledgeable about ministry, and select the best organizations to support. We have averaged giving 33% for the last 15 years, and in most recent 2 years, we've moved to 50% of our gross income." Ray Berryman, another business owner, wrote, "The more we give, the more delight in our giving, the more God delights in us. Our giving pleases us, but more importantly, it pleases God." Scott Lewis, the owner of Scott Machinery, said, He attended a conference where Bill Bright challenged people to give $1 million to help fulfill the Great Commission. This amount was laughable to Scott, far beyond anything he could imagine, since his machinery business was generating an income under $50,000 a year. Bill asked, "How much did you give last year?" Scott felt pretty good about his answer. He said, "We gave $17,000, about 35% of our income." Without blinking an eye, Bill responded, "Over the next year, why don't you make a goal of $50,000? Scott thought that Bill had not understood. $50,000 was more than he had made all year, but Scott and his wife decided to trust God with Bill's challenge, asking him to do the impossible. God provided in amazing ways with a miraculous December 31st provision. The Lewises were able to give the $50,000. The next year, they set a goal of $100,000, and again, God provided. In 2001, they passed the $1 million giving mark. The best part is that they aren't stopping." A passion for giving. It's like an infection. It spreads. When we give generously and liberally before the Lord, it starts welling up to the desire to give more. This generosity, anything could happen this morning coming out of my mouth, okay? It's one of those days, you know, the teeth aren't fitting right or whatever, but it's this generosity, liberality in giving is the heart that says, "I work to give." Now, if you're not here, if you're not in this place, I'm not trying to nudge you there. I'm not trying to push you there. I want to just share with you, this is vision. That there is a place that you can come to in giving that literally you begin to work to give. Rather than to work to supply yourself, to enrich yourself, you begin to work to give. A passion for giving is really simplicity in action. Proverbs 11:24 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. There is a natural and a spiritual law that is in effect when it comes to giving. Something that God has put into the whole process of mankind that when we give, it produces. And that production that occurs is infectious. And people want to see more and more what will come as a result of the giving. I know that there are many that are fastened to giving like a law. I appreciate that commitment. I appreciate that willingness. And in many ways, those individuals are the ones that probably are the fiber that hold the church together, especially one such as ours. That faithful, ready commitment, percentage giving, tithing, whatever you want to call it. I am not diminishing that in any way. But I have also watched throughout my lifetime as it has actually limited some people. Because once they have given that 10%, that percentage or that portion that relieves them from the pressure of the law, all of a sudden it's over. Giving is over for them. And it's really all that they can see. It's just like, well, yeah, I give my 10%. I give my tithe. And you never see them move over into this passion for giving because it always rests on that law of the tithe. Now again, I'm not diminishing that activity of tithing. I think it's a grand standard. It is biblical for us to step into. But when you and I do anything as law, it doesn't give us life according to Paul. There's no promise in law for life, for happiness. It's when we learn to do what we're doing for the Lord because we love Him. And in the simplicity of the action of giving itself, we find great value. Wow. It's the only way I know to describe it. It's just wow. Now, some of you have experienced this when you saw someone with a need. And you were able to step in and meet that need. Whether it be for food or clothing or some circumstance. And as you put it into their hand, did something just kind of exploded inside of you. It's just like, wow. How many know what I'm talking about? You've experienced that somewhere along the line. I hope you have. You see, it's so easy for us to become inward and myopic and just think about ourselves and our own stuff. Well, you know, if I give something away, then I won't have it. If I've got something I don't use, let me sell it so that I can get the money and then I can get me something else. I'm not speaking bad about selling extra things that we have in our life. I'm talking to you this morning about finding a value in giving and allowing the passion of giving to overtake in our lives. To where we look around at the stuff that we're not using and think, well, there's somebody else that doesn't have what I have could use that thing and be able to enrich their lives with it. And it becomes a passion. It grows. Again, the simplicity is in the action. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity, he says. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. What would cause somebody to give beyond what they're able? It's that passion for giving. The recognition of a need and realize that, hey, I can step into that. And then the realization that, well, what Proverbs says, one man gives freely and gains even more. Another man holds back what he has and has less. There's something in the natural flow that God has put into mankind that, well, he wants to supply those who are givers, he wants to supply them with more. You notice Paul says this freely, one man gives, or excuse me, the proverb says freely, one man gives freely. How do you get to that place where you give freely? That is entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Oh, please, Paul, let us give. Oh, please, Paul, let us give. One of the neatest passages, maybe it's a pastor's passage, I don't know. But Moses told the people of Israel that God was giving them the opportunity to give in preparation for the tabernacle to be built. And they started giving, and the workers came to them and said, we have all that we need. Tell the people to stop giving. I love that passage. I've never had the privilege of coming to that place. Okay, church. Just settle down now. Don't give anymore. How many of you have ever heard a pastor say that? Yeah, well, maybe after the rapture. Hugh McClellan, the director of a large Christian foundation, said, meet with God to determine what His giving goals are for you. Not just your goals, but His goals for you to carry out as His steward. Then ask Him to give you the particular passion to burden you for giving to certain kinds of ministries. Then ask yourself, what are the barriers that keep me from being a generous giver? Ask God to deal with you in those areas, and He will. Becoming generous, passionate in giving will not just happen. It comes in giving. it's like a seed. How many of you do gardens? You plant gardens? Okay. How many of you eat stuff from gardens? No, just stay with me for just a second. I want you to see. How many of you eat stuff from gardens? Okay, look around. Come on, look around. Don't just look at me. Get the full benefit of this. Look at this. All these people eat stuff from gardens. Now, one more time. How many of you have a garden? Do you see the difference? There's a bit of a ratio problem there. So those of us that eat from gardens are dependent upon those of you who grow the garden. Huh? You know, the best way to get fresh tomatoes is to plant tomatoes and watch over them and fertilize them. And then at some point in the year, then they grow tomatoes. I know this is complex. Huh? You see, if you want to have the experience of a giver, you have to give. You have to plant the seed, and then it begins to grow and produces this in your life. And I have to add to this, I'm sorry, but I have to add to this, you know, because of this whole thing of giving out of law, out of responsibility, If that's the only way that you give, you never come over here to the other side. In other words, you kind of set the plane, and that's as far as you get. In other words, I fulfill my responsibility for giving. You'll never get to the generous side. You got to learn to give because it's fun to give. Because of love, because of the desire to see needs met. There's got to be another motive besides responsibility and commitment to get to this point of being a generous giver. I believe that's where God wants us to go. You know why? Because that's the way He is. God's a giver. God is a passionate giver. How many realize that about God? You know, I'm always made aware, perhaps by the Holy Spirit, I believe it is by the Holy Spirit, that many people have a wrong concept going of God Himself. They've got Him mean. They've got Him as the judge, sitting up there waiting to lower the boom on everybody. And so I don't want to get too close to Him because then He'll find out about me and lower the boom on me. Well, you don't know God. God is love. I said, God is love. And God, out of that love, gives. Say, how do you know that? For God so loved that He gave. He gave it the very best for us. As Paul says, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we got to understand the kind of giver that God is. God is a generous giver. I don't know whether God would want to give me that thing. Yes, He would. Absolutely. You mean anything? Anything. Will He always give it to you? No, because He loves you. It's just reality. Because see, to some, if He gave them much, they would serve Him less. So He loves you enough to give you just enough so that you will keep serving Him. It's kind of amazing. But I believe He would just pour out on us. Because that's the kind of God that He is. You see, the second point this morning is that a passion for giving is sincerity of love. It's not just talking love, it's the sincerity of love. Now, see, we know this as parents. When one of our kids have a need, you don't sleep easy. You're searching through, trying to figure out, trying to manage, how can we do this? What can we borrow? What can we do? How can we make this work? Why? Because you love them and you want to provision them. You want to help them in the midst of their need, right? I mean, without question, it's like, I've got to do this. And why? Because there is a sincerity of love. There's a passion that flows out of love. You know, should I give to my kid? No, you don't ask, should I give to my kids? If there's a need that exists there, it's how do I give to my kids? Because the passion begins with the child. You love them, and so therefore you want to give to them. That's the way the Lord is about us. He loves His kids. He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about His creation. And therefore He gives generously. Paul said, I'm not commanding you, in verse number 8, he said, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Whew, that's quite a statement. He says, I'm going to compare your sincerity with the sincerity of others. How does it make you feel when I read that somebody is giving 50% of their income? Does it challenge you? Do you immediately in your mind begin to say all of the reasons why you could not do that? They didn't start at 50%. They just kept growing, and the intensity kept growing, and the generosity kept growing. There had to be decisions that were made along the way that said, I love this more than I love that. I love giving more than I love receiving. Jesus gave it all for love. Now, don't you misunderstand me this morning. I'm not trying to turn up the screws on you. I'm not trying to pressure you. You can't get there. You can't get to where I'm talking about from pressure. You get there in freedom. You get there in love. In the same way that nobody had to say to me, you know, now look, when you have a child and that child has a need, now what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to meet that need. Huh? Now there's a lot of things about raising our kids that I wish that I had a book. I mean, I'm talking about a book that's told the specifics, not generalities. I mean, tell them this. You're going to have to tell this one it this way, and this way, and that one this way, because they're all three extremely different, and they want to hear it differently. And the way you normally say things is not going to work, so you need to just throw all that out. Hello? I'd love to have one of those books. But I did not need one of those books to tell me that when they had a need that I should supply or should try to supply. That comes out of my heart of love. That comes out of picking them up when they were brand new born and holding them in my arms and kissing them and changing them occasionally. Feeding them occasionally. You know, it was a process. It grew. They grew on me. Can you believe it? I actually came to love them. Some time ago, I don't know if we bought it or somebody else bought it. One of my grandsons had a T-shirt that said, if mom and dad say no, I'll call grandma. Something like that. Huh? I found that even the grandkids have that key. They know Papa and Nana love them. And that if we're able at all, you know, our 14-year-old just turned 14 last Tuesday. He's our oldest grandson. And he started working a job so that he can save up money to buy him a Mustang. You know, the first thing that went through Papo's mind? I wonder if I could find a used Mustang. Now, he lives north of Seattle. So any used Mustang that I could purchase, I probably couldn't drive from here to Seattle. It didn't matter. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? My passion for that little man, my love for that little man, it's a simple thing. It just crosses all the barriers. It wasn't about, can I afford to do that? No, it was about, this is a desire of his heart. This is something that he is going to work toward over the next 2 years. And so as his papa, who loves him, I wanted to step into that and to give. If for no other reason, just to see the joy on that little man's face. There's another part of me that wants him to get something really slow with a whole lot of meat around it. Huh? That's the other part of love. Hey, in the book of Acts, two men, basically the same circumstance. One was named Barnabas and the other Ananias. Both men sold property and gave it to the church. Huh? Barnabas gave his land, the money from his land, and was blessed. Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they gave their money, part of it, and they were carried out of the church dead. What made the difference? It was their hearts. The church didn't ask them to do that. It wasn't demanded of them. God did not ask them or demand them to do that. But they were to give, the people were giving generously to the body. And then in crept the wrong motive. And boy, what an illustration it is, because you see, giving out of the right motive, giving out of love, giving because you're developing generosity inside of you, one breathes life. Barnabas, that friend of friends, came alongside. Ananias, let me see if I can pinch out a little glory out of this gift that I'm giving to the church. You know, growing up in the church, and my mom was the pastor's secretary for many years, and it makes you kind of privy to some of the things that were going on, but I can remember as a kid, our pastor, and I think I've shared this with you before, but our pastor always had a way whenever there was a special need in the church. You know, you took up the regular offerings, but whenever there's a special need, he'd have people stand up. You know, who'll give 50? Who'll give 100? And you know, our church is about 2,000 people. So you would sit there on a Sunday morning, you know, on the balcony and everybody, people would stand up and they would give $100 or who'll give 1,000 and all of this until the money was raised. And, you know, it was always, I have to tell you this, you know, on the way home from church, my mom would say, well, I saw such and such person stand. And what that meant was they never gave any other time except when those offerings were taken like that so that they could stand up and everybody could see that they were going to give $100 or $50 or $1,000 or whatever like that. You know, all the glory and whole works was just achieved right there when they stood up. Because that's not generosity, that's ego, that's look at me. There's a better way, folks. There's an exciting, there's an incredible way that you and I can learn to give. It's called generous, passionate giving. It moves beyond the responsibility to give. It moves beyond anything else. And it's motivated by love. Oh my goodness. This sincerity of love. I have to get to the last point and then I can say amen to this. And that is, a passion for giving is singleness of heart. You know, you can reach a place where you literally start forgetting about yourself. And your whole thought process, how can I help others? Look, verse 10. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Generosity and giving, for that matter, is not about the amount. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that. It's not about the amount. In other words, it is not generosity is not measured that if one person has multiple thousands and gives $1,000 and somebody else has very little and gives $100, the $1,000 person is not more generous than the $100 person. It's about what one has. It's about what's going on in our hearts. This passion, this generosity is something, it doesn't have a dollar figure on it. In other words, I've got to give such and such amount or I'm not generous. It's about what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our minds. Hal Thomas, the CEO of Corbin Communications, said, my ability to give reflects how I see the real part of me. When I get the desire to give to a particular task, I am really answering the question, for what other purpose would I need to keep this money? I understand that God has given me the privilege of participating in His greater plan by allowing me to constantly make choices. When given a choice, it is an expression of love. My desire is to develop my character by learning how to choose the right answer. When the answer involves giving, I am saying, I love you, Lord. This singleness of heart that is part of this passionate giving is the completion of it. It's not just saying, I'm going to do this, that, or something else. It's actually doing it. You know, we're really better off not making the promises. Well, I'm going to give, and we put down a mark. We're better off just to leave that alone. Because even that moves giving to a wrong place. It's me fulfilling a vow. Excuse me, I laid tile yesterday for 10 hours and I'm tired. Oh, that we could get to the place of passionate giving. That out of this love, like we have for our children, like we have for our grandchildren, that this love would prevail within us. That there would be such a spontaneity, even in our giving in this place, that literally it would rise up within our hearts. We'd be awaiting the opportunity to give. Not trying to figure, you know, praise the Lord, Lisa takes care of the finances, both the paying and the bills and the recording of tithes and everything, so I don't know what anybody gives here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean that. But there have been years that I have been pioneering and had no secretary, and so not only was I the pastor, but I was the bookkeeper and had to fill out what people gave. And I was always very taken back by the individuals that gave $29.34. Every week. Because it was the exact 10% of the monies that they had earned. Now see, here's the part that goes, well, good for them. They had developed that discipline in their life. There's a good side of that because every single week we could count on the $29.34. So it was really good. But they never came to a place to understand passionate giving. They never learned that there's a place to just be responding in love and pouring out. I'm telling you this morning, there is a place in giving that it's fun. Imagination gets involved. Possibilities get involved. And it's not about who knows, and it's not about the amount. Somebody else sitting next to you may give more. It doesn't matter. Doesn't have anything to do with it. It's about being able to give. And then all of a sudden, you see, you can see when this passionate giving starts taking place, because you start looking around for things that you can give away. You know, it's like, well, we don't need that anymore. Huh? I don't know. I've had her for quite a while. I could probably give her away now. Sorry, that was... Just ignore that. See, that was another one of those things. Just, whew, I could have done without saying. Just happens. I know, it muddies the water, see, it makes everything else that I say come into question. I found out a long time ago, I can make a little statement like that and that's it. You know, I mean, somebody's lost for the whole message. Passion for giving. A passion for giving. Put the last slide up there, would you, brother? I think it's brother. Yes, brother. Here's the question. What is your passion? You know, that's the real question that we have to deal with in our own lives and before the Lord. What is our passion? Well, you know, I get any extra money, I like to put it over into XYZ. Now, again, I'm not trying to lay off guilt on you. I'm not trying to get more out of your pocketbooks. This isn't for me. This is about your life and having... Well, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Hilarious, full, rich. This is part of it. Developing a passion for giving, and all of a sudden you see a need. It's not, am I going to respond to that need? It's, how much can I put towards that need? Where can I get some money? How can I respond? I need to respond to that need. Then all of a sudden, giving becomes fun because, see, it broadens your participation. See, you know, I purpose as a pastor, you know, I can't give overwhelming because my funds are limited like everybody else's. But I have purposed that every person that comes in here and every need that is presented, I'm going to give something. And it's not for you. And it's not even for the need. It's for me. Because then, all of a sudden, I've participated. You know, every missionary that comes in, I participated in their, in what they're doing. Every guest that comes in, I participated in what they're doing. You say, well, how much did you give? It's none of your business. And it really doesn't matter anyway. What matters is that I had the opportunity to be involved. I had the opportunity to share in it. And, it, you know, whether I put a dollar in or a $10 in or a $20 in or $1,000 in is really not relevant. I participate at any level, and it releases the passion that is within me to participate and to be involved in what God is involved with. Oh, hallelujah. What's your passion? What has your interest?